Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good evening, church. Great to be with you tonight. It's great to be in the house of the Lord and be able to come together as a church family and not only do life together and do Sundays together, but come amongst God's word and be able to allow that to speak to us tonight. And I'm excited about the word that God's given me for tonight. And I hope that it is, I know that it is applicable to each and every one of us as it was applicable to me. So I encourage you to be ready to receive tonight whatever God wants to speak to you in. I wonder if you've ever thought about the way in which you walk personally, like your technique when it comes to walking. It's one of those things that I've found myself thinking about sometimes when I'm walking, and I feel like it's one of those where the more you think about it, the weirder it becomes. Like how much do my arms actually move when I'm walking? Is anyone else, is it just me that's thought about that? But when you actually think about it, it's like anything feels weird when you're walking, because either it's too much or if you're not doing it at all, it's too little. And I actually personally enjoy people watching. I enjoy watching each of you walk into church. That might sound creepy, but it's true. I do. And if you were to go down the streets or you got into Churnside Park and you were to watch people walk, I believe that it tells you a little bit about them themselves, or particularly maybe the way in which their day is going as well. And I've categorized them into four different groups. The first one I call the extrovert, who's the socialite, who's just looking for like the eye contact. Every time they walk, they've just got their eyes darting, looking for either someone that they know or someone that they can interrupt and have a conversation with. I call them the extroverts. Then you've got those consistently lost people who just kind of, I don't know if you're one of those, who just, either you are lost or you just look lost all the time and you're just walking like you're lost. Or maybe you are that person who is a hashtag blessed person, where you're walking through the shops and everything you see is a blessing and it's just beautiful and you kind of just walk around and the sun's so nice in that, or the rubbish truck is looking really good today. You're a hashtag blessed person and everything is just worth stopping and having a look at. And then the fourth category is probably the one the majority of us are in, is those purposeful walkers, where you know you've got your list, you've got your things to do, and there's nothing worse than seeing someone that you have to have a conversation with, that extra... I'm not saying if I see you in the shops, I will have a conversation with you happily, but other people who aren't here tonight, there's nothing worse than having to have a conversation with them and locking eyes. But you've got that purpose when you're at the shops, or you've got the purpose down the street, and you walk with conviction in the way in which you're going. And this was a clear picture that I had for tonight, for us here tonight, that I believe God has given a word to assess, to evaluate, and perhaps even to realign the way in which we are walking in our pursuit of Jesus, the way in which we are walking within our life, whether we are walking with purpose, or perhaps maybe we are in one of those other categories when it comes to our walk in life. And I was thinking, and this isn't my passage, so I'm not going to unpack it tonight, about Matthew 13 and the seeds that were falling on different types of soil that Jesus describes in that. And maybe your current walk posture is one of that extrovert, where you're constantly distracted by people or distracted by things or different things of the world. And my mind went to the rocky soil in that, in Matthew 13. Maybe you're like the seed on the path, and your current walk is a posture of just being lost, and you're constantly lost in the way in which you are walking through life. Maybe your current life walk is so consumed by the momentary things of this world, or achievement or career relationship that is temporary, that you've lost the will and the ability to accomplish God's purpose, the seed amongst the thorns in Matthew 13. So I wondered tonight, if we were to self-reflect and evaluate, how are you walking? Because each of us have passions that cause us to come alive, and these passions can tell us a little bit about how God has designed us to outwork His purposes in our life. And because ultimately our purpose is not actually caught up in earthly accomplishments, but in a matter of whatever you do, wherever you go, we are called to reflect God's glory through the reflection of Jesus Christ, through the power in the name of Jesus, as we sung about tonight. And tonight, God has challenged me to unpack some of the building blocks that come before all of this, before the accomplishments, before what we see. Often we see seeds as the things that we sow into other people, but actually before that, the seeds that we sow into our life. What are we sowing into ourselves? And tonight, I want to unpack some of the building blocks within that, within our own purpose. Another question for us is, if I was to ask you in 5 years' time, where do you see yourself based upon the habit patterns that you have put in place, even over the last week, if you were to evaluate the last week of your life and the habits perhaps that you have in place right now, the purpose that you are living within, what does it look like in 5 years' time for you? Where does your mind go in this? Personally, I probably see myself celebrating Carlton's fifth straight premiership in the greatest dynasty of all time. The lid is off. Not really, but if you were to stop and reflect upon the trajectory of your own life based on the purpose with which you are living and the habits you have created, then what does that look like? And if we're truly honest, sometimes, depending on the way in which our life looks like right at this minute, that can be a daunting question. Because if there is an addiction in our life, if there is a relationship perhaps that we have neglected, if there is a call from God that we know we should be walking towards, maybe like Jonah, walking away from Nineveh, or away from God's call, then what that could look like in 5 years' time, it can be daunting for us. Each of us hold a daily purpose to walk towards, and each of us a call from God, not just for this season in our life, but in the future, not just when you're 20 or 30 years old, but every single day of our life. And that's why it's important to evaluate, think about the long-term future, but evaluating it in the day, evaluating it in the now. And I know that this may sound easy for a 27-year-old to say, keep walking with purpose, but the truth is, regardless of your age, your background, your experience, your struggles, there is a heavenly purpose which God wants to fulfill from this moment forward, for every single one of us. And I wanted to title this message tonight, Walking in Purpose. Walking in Purpose. And if you don't like what you're reaping, I've heard this said before, if you don't like what you're seeing outworked in your life, if you don't like what you're reaping, if it's not in alignment with the Word of God, or it is not bringing glory to God in your life, if you're not seeing purpose outworked in your life, in what you are reaping, then we need to change what we are sowing. Something needs to change in the way in which we are sowing. 2 Corinthians 9:6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So no matter how you are feeling tonight with regards to your purpose in life and your even daily purpose, right now is a chance to stop and evaluate and be able to press into to those seeds that we are sowing within our own life to ensure that we are going to reap bountifully when it comes to the kingdom of God. So why don't you just take a moment as we pray before we go any further. Father God, we just thank you so much for your word. And Lord God, I know that this is a word in which we can so easily just allow to pass by. But Father God, if we take this seriously, it can change the trajectory of our life. And so Father God, right now I just pray that each and every one of us would humble ourselves before you. We would be able to stop and reflect and think about perhaps the habit patterns that we have in our life. What are we building upon? Are we building on your firm foundation? Are we building on your word? Are we seeing you outworked in our life? Because Father God, all we want is all you are. We want more of you in our life. Jesus, we want to reflect you in all that we do. And so God, right now I pray that your word would go forth. That I would not be in the way of your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Spirit would just speak to each and every person here tonight through your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So to illustrate some of the building blocks of a purposeful walk tonight, I want to unpack 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. And this is going to be where we sit tonight. And for context, this was King David's project handover, basically, to his son Solomon before he passed away. And David, who, as we know, was a man after God's own heart, he served courageously and faithfully throughout his life, and he made some mistakes, which we know about along the way. Yet one of his biggest projects that that God had commissioned him with at the end of his life was the building of the temple. And God had been giving him all of the architectural or planning requirements, and yet it was not within his purpose to see this temple built. This was for Solomon. And Solomon was the first surviving son of David and Bathsheba, and had been anointed for taking over as king from David in about 970 BC. And as I was reflecting on the life of Solomon, he himself actually paints a pretty good picture for us of a life which is lived in purpose and lives out his purpose, and then kind of gets away from that towards the end of his life as well. He drifts away and loses that purpose towards the end. And so he is a good character study for us, even as we look to the purposes of our own life. It was a reign that began so promisingly, and he held tight to the purposes and the clear instructions, as we're going to see tonight, of the building of the temple. He asked God for wisdom, and it was given to him. But in time, wealth, greed, power, women warped his purpose from being God-serving to self-serving. And so we need to be careful as well within every day of our life. Even if our life starts off in purpose, we want to finish off in purpose, that daily discipline of our purpose in Christ. And so this was David's handover to Solomon in building the temple. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9 and 10. "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house as the sanctuary. Be strong and do the work." Those words, consider now, don't delay. Consider where you are now so that God's purposes can be fulfilled in you. Just over a month ago, Holly and I were in Europe, and it was a beautiful experience. And probably the most challenging thing about being there was when you don't understand the language, and particularly transport. We didn't have a car or anything over there, so we were always catching trains or ferries or flights. And God was good to us in that we had a lot of almosts, but we managed to get through unscathed throughout. But one of these almosts was when we were flying from Croatia to England, and we had connecting flights, and our initial flight was delayed by a couple of hours, or by a number of hours actually, and so we missed the connecting flight within that, and they rearranged for us to go to Germany, to Frankfurt, and we thought, what can we do in Frankfurt? Well, we'll eat a Frankfurt. So we went across and got a Frankfurt and some potato, and it was great. We had about an hour, we thought, at that airport, and can I just tell you, this Frankfurt was out of this world. It was incredible. It was amazing. I was cherishing it. And about a quarter of the way through the Frankfurt and potato, something happened which had never happened to me before. We heard on the loudspeaker an announcement come across. And you know how these announcements come and names get caught and you kind of silently judge those people. Think, how could you possibly be that late to your flight? Or how could you be leaving things to such a last minute? Well, this time it was us. And so the airport announcement comes out, Matthew David Burt and Holly Alexandra Elizabeth Burt. They use your full name because you're in trouble. Please report to Terminal 3 straight away, immediately. And my first thought, what do you think my first thought was? It went straight to the Frankfurt that I was trying to enjoy. And this beautiful, precious thing of German sausage. I did a great disservice to the German delicacy. And I scoffed down the sausage as I ran to the terminal. And I took Holly's because she wasn't going to scoff it down. And I took hers and I tried to scoff that down too because it was so good. And it pains me to say that not all of it was consumed. In fact, we had to throw a little bit of it out, which still gets to me. And so we arrived at the terminal and Holly did all the talking because my mouth was still full of Frankfurt. And the lady actually said to Holly, "Oh, you have beautiful eyes," said to her when she was looking at the passports, and then looked at me and had to kind of double look because I had my face out. And then got to the end of it, and we're expecting, okay, quickly run onto your flight as quickly as possible and get going. Yet after all this, they go, "Thank you, we were just confirming you were here. Feel free to take your seats and we'll load the plane in half an hour." And so I've just got this mouthful of Frankfurt, and I've completely missed the Frankfurt experience that was supposed to be mine in this process. How disappointing is that? Terrible story. However, often we respond to a call so quickly, even in our lives, in our lack of strength and understanding, that we actually miss the purpose behind the call as well. And so before we can know what God wants to do in our life, we actually have to know God. And it seems obvious, but even in the posture of our response, we can act in a certain way. We can strive for a certain call that is in alignment with our own perception of what God wants for us. And it's actually opposed to what God is actually calling us to do. And so in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, at the very start, it says in the New Living Translation, "Know the God of your ancestors and serve him." And so the first part of Solomon's charge is to know God. Know what you are responding to. Know who you are responding to. Take the time to know before you act. And so point number one tonight in walking with purpose is simply to know God and to serve him. And even as I was preparing this week, I caught myself that this is not actually about your purpose. It's really important tonight, but God's purpose in you. The temple was not Solomon's purpose. It was God's purpose fulfilled through Solomon. It is not about how God can fulfill your purpose. It's about how we can play our part in his. Psalm 33:11 says, "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations." Isaiah 46:10, "I make known the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." The more in which we get into the Word of God, the more in which we spend time in his presence and grow in our knowledge and understanding of his voice, the more we realize that this is less about us and more about him. And this passage tells us that to know God is to serve him, not ourselves. To know him more is actually to serve him. And David actually knew this. This was his greatest strength, was his intimacy and his relationship with God. And maybe tonight you might be struggling with your own purpose in life. And our first step is often internal, where we think we need to find more about ourselves. We're often told, well, what are your passions? What are your giftings? What are your experiences? Which might be good. They might add up to something helpful. But actually, before all of that, the Word of God would tell us the first step in gaining purpose is actually to gain a greater knowledge and relationship with the living God. It's why there are some things that we actually do out of obedience in our own life that we actually have no idea what the outworkings are, because we don't know fully God yet. Sometimes I can recall even being led to pray and send a Bible verse to one of my colleagues, and she was non-Christian, and it seemingly having no impact. And yet, because I don't fully know God at this stage here on earth, we need to accept that we will not always know why he calls us to do certain things. But it's in the pursuit of knowing God and growing our relationship daily with him that we find the motivation to see his heart outworked. We have the ability to hear more clearly his voice. And we have the strength and the courage to do what he's calling us to do. Which leads to the second point in verse 9. It says, "Serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought." So point number two tonight, walking with purpose takes wholehearted devotion and a willing mind. We know the outworkings of doing something half-hearted. I might grab that prop there. If you still live with your parents, or perhaps you can take your mind back to when you lived with your parents, for some it might be a longer time ago than others, but I can remember this was one of my chores, and I had the chores that I had to do in the house, and I had the vacuuming and the toilets and the dusting, and this was my best friend, because I could just simply walk around the house without even looking at what I was doing, and that would be pretty much dusting right there, and that would be dusted. And I could get the vacuuming, I time myself sometimes, I could get the vacuuming, the toilets, and the dusting of the house done in 20 minutes. And there was such a lack of care, and Mum was and Dad were pretty patient. In fact, Dad would say that I would vacuum the study, he would be working, and I'd go, and then that would be done, and I'd move to the next one, and that would be it. And maybe if you are living under your parents' roof, you can relate to that, because you have... Really, you're not that invested into whether, and maybe you have kids at home, and you can tell that they're not all that invested into the actual outworkings of the chores they were doing. It was more to just tick a box. And I knew that I could definitely get this done in 20 minutes, then be back outside kicking football, where my heart and my mind was really at the time. And so since moving out, though, I all of a sudden, I've learnt what dust is, and I've learnt what toilet grime is. And I actually see it, and I want to do a good job of it because I have my own place now, and it's I've never seen that before, but I do now, and I appreciate a clean house all of a sudden. And you know, if we're not half invested, if we're only half invested, if we're not fully invested and devoted to God, then of course we are not going to see His purposes fulfilled in our life. We're going to see a half-done job. We're going to see half-done fulfillment in the things that He has for us. And for some of us, we might even need a wake-up call when it comes to attending church, when it comes to serving, when it comes to witnessing, when it comes to our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Because this is not supposed to be just a tick of the box, which is so easy to do. We try to tick as many boxes in our life as we can. And Nick spoke this morning about devotion to prayer. And she made some really great points around prayer this morning and making it a high priority. And devotion means it's an intense effort. And she said it means that it affects every area of your life. When you are devoted, it should affect every area of your life. And so our prayer tonight is that God, let us be a church that is wholeheartedly devoted to You with a willing mind. It's a powerful prayer. Holly often walks around singing the song from Greece, Hopelessly Devoted to You. Anyone like that song? Yeah. Do you want to sing it for us tonight? No. She's got a good voice, everyone. You should follow her up on that. But she came up with this line. I'm stealing it off her, and she made sure I credited her because her next sermon will probably be this title, that we are a people hopefully devoted to God. Hopefully devoted to God. Not hopelessly, but hopefully. I don't think people really appreciated that title, babe, so I'll take the ownership. You got to clap. People did. But it means that our future steps are not so set in what our own plans and desires are, but our heart and mind is open and ready to be shaped by God, a hope fully devoted to God in everything that we do. When our heart and mind is fully devoted to God, we begin to see things differently. Instead of chasing after earthly crowns, that money, that person, that career, our attention shifts to what is eternal. Instead of our mind thinking, well, why can't I do this? We start to think, why can I do this? Instead of our mind being closed off in our own capabilities, our own strengths, we see that in Christ, all things are possible. This is with a fully devoted heart and mind to Him. Matthew 22:37 says, "And He said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.'" So how is your heart? Where is it focused tonight? Is it towards God? What about your mind? There are so many things competing for the attention of our mind in the world today. Are you filling it with God or with the world? Because walking with purpose requires a whole heart and a willing mind. Point number three tonight in walking with purpose is to be constantly, constantly seeking Him. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9, "If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever." The Bible speaks often of seeking God. It says, "Seek me and you will find me when you seek with all of your heart. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness." And God wants to make it abundantly clear to us that He is findable, that He is there. But seeking is a doing word. And so there is a responsibility that we have to actually set out to find Him. For most of us, God doesn't just turn up on our doorstep, but we have to actually step up. We have to open the door. We have to go and get out of our comfort zone sometimes and actually seek Him and seek His face. But you only have to fast forward to the end of Solomon's life to see what can happen when we stop seeking God. We start to seek our own desires. Holly and I are coming up on 5 years married, and increasingly our life is becoming more and more full of nieces and nephews. They're everywhere. And sometimes I get the joy of babysitting them, and I get the even greater joy of being able to give them back at the end to their parents. So I consider myself a pretty fit person. I enjoy working out. I enjoy pushing myself to the absolute limit. But I actually think that I would be less fatigued and less tired after running a marathon than I am after babysitting my two-year-old niece for 2 hours. It's incredible. I don't know if you've experienced this or whether that's just me, but it is something else to be able to babysit a kid at that age, and I will just find myself lying on the floor at the end and not being able to move because I'm wrecked. And for those of you that have children, or maybe you've babysat children and you've experienced this, you would probably know that the very best game you can play is hide and seek. Anyone agree with that? The best game you can play with a young child of that age? Because when you're playing hide and seek, there's always that blissful sweet spot of when the child is searching for you and you get that time in the cupboard to yourself where it's just so peaceful at the time. And there are also times, and I'm sure you can relate to this, where the child is searching for you and all of a sudden they get distracted by something, another toy, and you're in the cupboard just waiting for them to find you and they're off chasing another toy. And this is a bit of an awkward predicament because, number one, it's a little bit offensive that they can just get on with their life completely and forget that you existed and be completely happy. And the secondly is that it's kind of a free relaxation pass as well, until you realize that that child could be doing absolutely anything and you better follow them up. So what do? You usually make a sound that the child remembers and that they were on mission to find you, and they go and they come and they find you eventually. And there are often times where seeking God can be similar, where we are the toddler seeking God, and all of a sudden the distraction in the form of that friend or a job opportunity or relationship or a shiny toy that comes in our life all of a sudden takes us in a completely different direction. And as challenging as this might be, usually if we're not seeking God, it is because either we have become distracted, complacent, or there's something that we're trying to hide from Him. That's just, in my opinion, some of the things that you observe. When you're not seeking God, often it's to do with one of those three things. It may be that we're hiding because we're afraid of what He'll do with our finances, or we're hiding because we're afraid of where He'll take us, or we're hiding because there are some things that we want to protect from Him, or we're hiding because our perception of Him is wrong. You only have to think back to Adam and Eve. And for them, it was that disobedience. It was that shame and guilt that caused them to hide from God. If we think to Samson, he became distracted in his life. He became distracted by the wrong people in his crowd and lost his purpose and calling. If we think to the Israelites, they were complacent when it came to letting idols into their worship in the Old Testament and allowing that to again take them away from their seeking of God. Yet we also see countless examples of God coming through for those who are willing to seek Him. In Luke 19, verse 4 to 6, Zacchaeus is a great example, a wealthy tax collector at the time. And he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see Him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. So Zacchaeus climbed the tree. He climbed it. He was proactive in seeking Him. He was seeking to find Jesus. But he also found, as Jesus went to his house, he learned that he must seek to stay with Jesus as well. Now, we need to seek to find God's purpose in our life, but we also need to seek to stay in God's purpose too. It's not a set and forget, but a constant journey. It's about finding that purpose. It's not about finding that purpose or our ticket to heaven and then going back to whatever we want to do. It's got to be a daily pursuit, a daily seeking of Him. So are we seeking God daily? If we are seeking God, then we are not hiding. We eliminate complacency and we set aside distraction. So we have to have an attitude of seeking when it comes to having a purpose-driven life. Point number four, the second last, 1 Chronicles 28:10. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house as the sanctuary. And so this point, recognize, and this is so important, recognize that you have been chosen. And again, that might sound simple, but one of the biggest reasons that we don't walk in the purposes that God gives us is because we don't see ourselves as chosen. It's always so much easier to see the person sitting next to us as chosen, or the person on stage as chosen and not ourselves. It's easy to see our life group leader as chosen, or that the pastor or the person with musical giftings or that social media influencer. We see people around, we think, yeah, they're chosen, but nah, not me. But this verse, John 15:16, says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you," God appointed you, "that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give you." That's a powerful verse right there. If you don't think you are chosen, you know, that can speak into your life. We may even feel our past decisions have disqualified us from being chosen. But truthfully, none of us have made every right decision. None of us will continue making every right decision. Yet it doesn't change the fact that we are chosen, that you are chosen. You are here in church tonight hearing this word, and so God would have you know that his plans and purposes are ready for you. David and Solomon were chosen for very different journeys, and it's important not to compare our journeys when we're considering this. Where David paved the way and fought the battle, Solomon, whose name actually means peace, reigned through the most peaceful era of Israel and a really successful era for Israel. Chosen by the same God, but chosen for different purposes. And I was looking at the history of the temple and what came before, and I was reminded of Jesus making a way for us. See, David paved the way for Solomon. David spent most of his life, actually, in battle. And the area of Jerusalem and Mount Moriah that the temple was to be built upon previously belonged to the Jebusites. And David actually won that battle. He took the land. And now it was up to Solomon to fulfill the purpose that the victory had inherited. He had inherited through the victory. And each of us have had the way paved for us by Jesus. We have inherited the land, inherited the calling. It is up to us, though, to step into it. I love how even these chapters in the Old Testament, they point us to Jesus. They point straight to Jesus and for us to take from right now. The Word of God speaks of our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so David fights, he leads and wins the battle through God for the land in which the temple was to be built. Solomon was required to do the work in building the temple on the land that David, through God, provided for him. And so just as Jesus created a way for our bodies to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, but we're called to do the work in building the temple as well. We are chosen for a holy purpose. When we see ourselves as chosen by our Lord Jesus, it motivates us to do the work, which is the final point. David's final instruction to Solomon, and we don't always really like hearing this. We probably could stop at "you are chosen" and that would be nice. But his final point is so important. He says, "Be strong and do the work." Living and walking with purpose in Christ is not built on coasting through when we feel like it. Steph, I wonder if you could come and play keys. Is that all right? And in order to be living out our purpose, we need to be willing to be strong and to do the work. Not many people, when they rock up to a task, enjoy hearing, this is going to be hard work. This is going to take all your strength. We much prefer the terminology, even if we're, you know, around Christianese, of let go and let God. Like, that's an easy thing, but we don't often like that it's going to take work. It's going to take us to be strong. But when David instructs this of Solomon, it is not shallow advice, in that this is coming from someone who knew what it meant to be weak and be tired. We see it consistently in David's journey. For example, in 1 Samuel 30, after David had fled to the Philistines after being chased by Saul, he's then kicked out from the Philistines and he's kind of come back at this time. And he comes back home to find all the families had been taken by the Amalekites. And so he's gone back and forth, and then his family has been taken, including all the men's family that are with him, that are fighting with David at the time. And so his men actually turn on David and go to threaten to stone David as well. So he's getting chased from one to the other back, and then his people have turned on him and are about to trying to stone him. And he is completely wrecked at this point. Yet in 1 Samuel 30 verse 6 it says, "But David found strength in the Lord his God." David knew that just because you were tired and facing opposition didn't mean that you were outside of the call of God. And if you want to live on purpose for Jesus, there are going to be times where it takes strength, resilience, and discipline to press on in the face of opposition. But yet when you are doing what God has called you to do, he doesn't leave us empty-handed. He gives us the tools. We draw near to him. He refuels our passion, our desire to see it through, because we're doing what he's calling us to do. You know, so often in this life, we can hear, and our default response, and I'm guilty of this, is the busy response and how your week has been. It's been busy. And Holly often, she says a good line. She doesn't like the word busy, so she says it's been full, because busy has negative connotations, whereas full has positive connotations. Yeah, my week has been full. It's been full. And, you know, in life at the moment, we have always got things going on. We're always busy. We're always full. And as Nick said this morning, it's about how we manage it and how we prioritize God in it to be strong and do the work. If we see it as, yeah, life is full, but God is at work, then all of a sudden our attitude shifts from being overwhelmed by the things of the world to being empowered and uplifted by the fact that we're doing a lot and life is full. And it's crazy, it's hectic, it's difficult at times. We're facing opposition, but hey, God is with me. And I'm accomplishing here what God has purposed for me. And that just spurs us on. It continues to do what God is calling us into. And I felt this morning and during prayer that sometimes God challenges us to step out of our comfort zone as well, whether that be worship, reading the Bible, or our attitude. There was a point when I was a teenager or an adolescent or going into young adult where I felt like I could very easily stay within the box of Matt the Christian when it came to my faith and what was comfortable. And I think many of us are in this, and I get to this stage even where I'm at now, where what I'm comfortable in, whether that be in, you know, taking notes in church, or whether that be in my worship posture, whether that be in the way in which I just do my faith, is so boxed into what I'm expecting to do that I don't allow God to actually speak to me in the moment. Or I don't allow God to actually shape different aspects of my faith within that time. Because sometimes God challenges us to get out of our comfort zone, to get out of the norm, to actually stretch us in the ways that He wants us to go. And fulfilling our purposes requires us to actually step out, be uncomfortable sometimes. You know, if God is challenging you to get on your knees and worship, you just do it because He's calling us to do it. And that's what He's purposing for us in that moment. And there is nothing else that matters when it comes to our own desires, our own wants, our own wishes in our life, because it all falls dim when we turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full upon His beautiful face. Isaiah 43:19 says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and it streams in the wasteland." I'd love for us all to just close our eyes for a moment of self-reflection. And as I was praying into this word, I really got the sense that there may be dreams here tonight which God wants to remind us of, or maybe just wants to speak to you in for the first time. It's a good question to ask, what are the dreams of your life? Maybe you've prevented yourself from dreaming dreams because you're afraid of not accomplishing them. Maybe you think it's too far gone. God will say, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." See, when God gives us a dream or a vision, we hold loosely to the outcome. Because as we said before, purpose is not about our purpose, but about God's purposes being fulfilled and us being able to play a part in it. When David was given the dream of the temple, it was not fulfilled within his lifetime, but in Solomon's. It was less about the outcome and more about the obedience to God in the process. And so the dreams in your life are going to make way for obedience. And that's the exciting part. Trusting in God's timing and the seeds planted that are going to make a heavenly fruit. But it starts with those of knowing God.